This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. How many little kids, after watching movies like Indiana Jones or Lara Croft Tomb Raider, dream of growing up exploring little-known parts of the world, risking life and limb in search of long-lost treasure? Now, think about how many people actually end up living that dream, right? Probably can't think of that many, but you don't have to look very far to find one. W.C. Jameson is a Texas author, historian, and treasure hunter. He's detailed some of his new adventures in a book, actually his old adventures in a new book, Treasure Hunter, a memoir of caches, curses, and confrontations. He joins me now. W.C., how'd you get into this, and why'd you get into this?
I do it for a number of reasons. I've been doing this. My first treasure hunt took place when I was 11 years old. I was conscripted by four professional treasure hunters as a chore boy, a camp hand, cut wood, keep the fire going, wash the dishes and everything else. But I did get to participate in the recovery of 100 gold ingots, retrieve them from a cave where they had been hidden for about half a century or so.
I guess when FDR declared them contraband, maybe in the 30s?
Right. I don't know the backstory on this. I was too young and they didn't tell me. These men didn't tell me anything. But I handled the gold bars. We're looking at about 25-pound gold bars, and I was just an 11-year-old kid. I didn't weigh a whole lot more than a couple of those gold bars put together. But there was a very I've since described it as a very electric feeling that kind of took over. And following that experience, I read pretty much everything I could. I read Jason and the Golden Fleece, which is basically a treasure hunt. I read the great book by B. Traven, Treasure of the Sierra Madres. What kid hasn't read Treasure Island? And I found the most fascinating part of this was the actual quest for the treasure. This is the stuff that great stories are made up of. It's not so much the finding of the treasure, it's the search for the treasure. And I wanted to do that. As it happened, I fell in over the years with three men who became my partners. We worked together as professional treasure hunters off and on for about a little over 30 years, I think. Most of our work was in Mexico because one of my partners was he had experience at a Midwestern university where he received a lot of grants to study archives, old church and government archives in Mexico City. And while he was doing this, he came across a lot of references of Spanish mining, the Spanish transporting of gold and silver from mines that at the time were in what is now the United States, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and places like that. These cargoes, these mule trains of gold or silver were often attacked by Indians, by bandits. And as a result of a variety of circumstances, this treasure, the gold bars or silver bars were often hidden. A lot of times they felt like the Indians were trying to take the treasure from them, so they would hide them, intending to come back and get him. The truth was the Indians couldn't have cared less about the treasure. They were just simply defending their territory. And a lot of this treasure still remained where it was originally hidden because they never had the opportunity to come back and recover it because the Mexican government, the army, was scattered throughout Mexico putting out brush fires here and there and often couldn't or didn't want to mount a recovery expedition to go into hostile Indian territory. So we deduced that a lot of this treasure still remained where it was, and we decided that we were the ones to go find it.
So did you find a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Make you rich?
I have been rich at times. What a lot of people don't understand is that discovering treasure is often not quite as hard as recovering treasure. If you find 25 to 40-pound gold ingots in a remote part of Mexico where there are no roads, where there are no trails, the question is, how do you get this out? And we got four guys, we got backpacks. Now, if you get a mule train or a burro train, you're going to gain notice. Everybody says, why didn't you just bring helicopters in there and get it out? Imagine flying helicopters illegally into Mexico today to try to accomplish something like that. So we often extracted 1 to 2 bars apiece at a time because we were on foot. We were basically backpacking. And we would convert the gold to cash. Now, understand, this was back when gold was $32 an ounce. Okay, so when you're thinking about growing wealthy, think about $32 an ounce versus $1,200
right,
an ounce
today.
Yeah. Also, it's divided among four people. And what we would do is when we would convert this into cash, we would pay ourselves for the expenses that we incurred, and then we would finance the next expedition. The other thing is those gold bars, it was rare to find a Spanish gold bar that had more than 60, 65% gold in it. A lot of it was impurities because of their imperfect processing, mm-hmm. their smelting operation. A lot of impurities like copper and lead and some other things.
Having done this for so many years, what would you consider to be, I don't know, the Holy Grail?
My goodness, there are so many. A lot of what I think are some of the most compelling stories are ones that a lot of people have never heard of. On the other hand, you have these iconic lost treasure stories that have appealed to people for a century or more, centuries, in fact. When you ask people about, or when people want to talk about lost mines and buried treasures, they will invariably invoke the Lost Dutchman mine in the Superstition Mountains. It's a great story that's been looked for so many times. It's been told and retold so many times. It's sometimes very difficult to separate the fact from the made-up stuff there. It remains a good story. The truth is, those mines are not so much lost as they were just simply mined out. There's gold to be found in the Superstition Mountains.
And where are the Superstition Mountains?
In Arizona, near not far from Tucson. You can still find gold in the Superstition Mountains, and if you're really good at this, you can go in and come out with enough gold maybe to pay for your trip out there and back. You have other hazards. You have hazards like flash floods. You've got rattlesnakes. A lot of people claim the place is cursed. As someone who has done this for probably six decades or so, as far as I'm concerned, they're all cursed. They all have their obstacles.
W.C. Jameson, historian, treasure hunter, and author of several books, including Treasure Hunter, a memoir of caches, curses, and confrontations.